My name is Chris Stevenson. I am an alcoholic. You know, it's interesting. At the Senior in Sobriety Conference in San Diego at the Town and Country a couple of years ago, there was a guy there that had 62 years of sobriety. And when he was introduced, he said, "My name is Bill, and I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous." And as soon as he said that, I got it. I knew exactly what he meant. No ambiguity, no fooling around. Just get right to the core of it. We're members who share our experience, strength, and hope with each other. My sobriety date is July the 13th, 1986. My home group is the Men's Stag in Altadena, California, that meets on Thursdays at 7 p.m. And my current sponsor is Les out of Glendora, California. And it just so happens that my very first sponsor when I came in 1986 is sitting right over here. And he lives down here near Atlanta. So I'm very happy to have Pete here. Thank you so much for all that you've done for me, Pete. I love him dearly. I'm currently the contributions treasurer for Area 5 in California. I've previously been the cooperation with the elderly chairperson for Area 5 and also for District 3. I first got exposed. I want to thank Steve and also Eva Sanchez for inviting me. When Steve called for the to extend the invitation, he thought we would talk for a couple of minutes about outreach to seniors, and it ended up an hour conversation about my understanding of what we've done in AA. In outreach to seniors and what we've been able to do in Area 5 as a result of the people that preceded us. I first got exposed to outreach to seniors in 2006. That was at a Pacific Region Alcoholics Anonymous Service Assembly, which we call PRASA. It was held in Area 93 that particular year in Woodland Hills, California. After the daily panels, they have round tables in the evenings. And one of the round tables was outreach to seniors. And there was a lady there from Hawaii named Marion who brought a PowerPoint presentation to tell us about this epidemic that her husband had uncovered. Stan, a physician, her husband, had noticed that seniors in emergency rooms and in other hospitals had these slips and falls and these bruises and these injuries. And he made the connection between the injuries they were sustaining and the drinking that they were doing at home. And he collected a lot of data so that he had some real hard evidence to support this silent epidemic that was occurring. Marion and Stan started meetings in Hawaii, and they took those PowerPoint presentations and they made them available. I was so impressed with it, I wanted to do something similar in the district where I was DCM at that particular time. That would be the Pasadena, South Pasadena, Altadena areas of California, District 3. So I came back and I talked to our general service reps and I talked to the other members of District 3, and they were very encouraged. So we formed a committee at the district level. And we didn't encounter problems until later with this committee, but it was really good that we started this outreach at the district level. And we decided, those of us that were a part of this initial committee, that we wanted to limit our outreach in a way that we could be successful and do something that was good, but do it in a simple way. We had a number of targets. We had the geriatric physicians, we had the senior centers, we had the retirement homes, and it was our choice just to limit our outreach during this initial effort to the senior centers. And we had three in the Pasadena, South Pasadena, and Altadena area. And we went to those directors, and sometimes we had to go before their board of directors to make short presentations about what we wanted to do. And what we wanted to do, we wanted to put literature in the senior centers, and we also wanted to participate in their health fairs. And we were allowed to do that. And so for a couple of years, we gained a lot of experience about how to work with seniors in senior centers, how to work with the staff in senior centers, and we developed some more PowerPoint presentations. And they were targeted towards different groups. We had the one PowerPoint presentation that was targeted towards the staff at the senior centers. We had a separate PowerPoint presentation that was targeted towards the potential member of AA itself. And we had another PowerPoint presentation that was targeted towards members of AA to encourage them to join our outreach effort. And we found that there were vast differences in these PowerPoint presentations. And we learned a lot from those experiences. At the end of those 2 years, there had been an ad hoc committee formed, CEC, Cooperation with the Elderly Community, ad hoc committee formed at the area level. And I became chairperson of that committee. Now, instead of three senior centers, we now had 60 in the area that we could reach out to. And we began to devise methodology for approaching these centers, because not all senior centers are the same. Some are nonprofit organizations, some are controlled by the cities, and there were various rules about vendors displaying materials in these facilities. And we had to learn the differences and use these differences in before we approach these centers. So we developed some supporting materials, how to canvas senior centers, how to approach the senior centers, what to look for when you walk in. And that information was helpful when we decided to approach the board of directors or decided to approach the director there. And so we were successful over that 2 years in getting our literature and participating in the health fairs of about 20 of these senior centers. There was some initial objection to us participating at some of these centers because there were public information committees at the area level, and there were also CPC committees at the area level. And what we did to deal with that particular objection was develop a very narrowly crafted mission statement for our senior committee, such that we only targeted those areas where seniors congregate. That was basically the essence of our mission statement. And whenever there was a potential conflict with public information or CPC, cooperation with the professional community, we cooperated with them. So we had no problem whatsoever, for example, in participating in a citywide health fair in a city where they reached out to all residents. It was all three committees participating, and we shared the literature, and we shared the expenses in our budget. And there was just so much work to be done that we all felt that we could just cooperate in such a way that we could get it done. This hasn't occurred in a lot of other areas. Sometimes there's a lot of resistance and competition about who should be present at some of these facilities. But if we think about it in the large term, in terms of cooperation instead of competition, then we can overcome these things like we do with so many other things in Alcoholics Anonymous, with love and patience and really just a strong desire to help the alcoholic who still suffers. That's at the core of what our outreach effort is like. The ad hoc committee, we wanted to convert that to a standing committee. We had resistance there as well, too. Not from people who were malcontent, but just because they traditionally had viewed outreach to seniors as a special needs project. And that still exists today, even at the New York level, that outreach to seniors is often viewed as special needs. We found in our experience that wasn't so. Most of us are mobile. Most of us are able to get around. We don't need special transportation to and from meetings. We don't have the same needs that are often echoed in the special needs committee. I attended the session prior to this, and I was just so impressed with the American Sign Language efforts that they were talking about. So from my point of view, you know, and I'm 75 years old, and we don't need a lot of mobility. We just sometimes need to, what we really need, and what I have found is important in seniors talking to another, is this wonderful, wonderful conversation about how to stay sober as we reach these various stages in our lives. The loss of spouse, the loss of income, the loss of health, reflections about death. These are the things, these are realities that I confront as I age, and so do my other senior peers. And we talk about these things in this conversation, and it helps us to stay sober and to overcome the pitfalls that drive many people to drink as they become seniors. And so it's really about conversation. It's not really much different than what the young people are doing. They have the same kind of conversation about how to have fun once you become sober, because that's one of their main concerns, is that, oh yeah, we're not going to have any more fun now that we don't have to drink or use any drugs. And so they have these conversations that are related to their stage of life, and we have to have these conversations that are related to our stage of life. It's not about special needs. That's my opinion. That's been my experience. So as we go forward and as we talk to New York, and I remember when Greg Muth was the general manager there, he was so supportive. I have not had that same conversation with Phyllis because I haven't had a chance to talk with her yet, and she's leaving in September. So our next general manager at New York, I hope to be able to have this conversation like I had with Steve and Eva Sanchez, and so we can continue this movement away from the special needs and more towards just this conversation that we need. And perhaps we will get our own desk there. There's a massive amount of material that of the collective experience of Alcoholics Anonymous, of senior outreach at New York that was started by Greg and compiled by Eva and some others. And those are great resource materials that you can use if you plan on doing some outreach work in your area. And of course, the PowerPoint presentations and all of our collective experience is available to anyone that wants to call. I attend the Senior in Sobriety Conference every year. We have a hospitality suite here. I think it's in the Magnolia Room, I believe. Sycamore Room, yeah. In the Omni Building, I think it's M2 or M3, I'm not sure which one it is. Mickey White will be there. I'll be up there, and we'll be happy to talk about how to continue this outreach. So thank you for letting me share that, okay?
Thank you so much, Christopher. It sounds Area 85 is alive and well. Thank you so much. While Chris was talking, kind of brought things to mind for me. Like I said, my group is the Preston Scout House in Canada, Cambridge, Ontario, and my group is like 66 years old, and we've been meeting in the same location, and we got news a couple weeks ago that we had to move, and so I had the honor and privilege of being on our group ad hoc committee to find a new location, and our new location is in a senior's resident home, and it has accessibility for our older members now, and I also have the honor and privilege of serving as Area 86 Panel 64, Special Needs Remote Community Subcommittee Chairperson. And so when we were on the hunt for a new location, I wanted to make sure that it was accessible for our senior members, and our district has been going into a couple of the seniors' homes that can't get out due to, you know, one person is very ill and the other one's on oxygen and can't get up the stairs at our group. So seven of us have faithfully been going into their homes and putting on meetings weekly for them. And so with you mentioning everything that's going on in your area, it's just, you know, the language of the heart and how we are there to help the others. So thank you again, Christopher. Okay, so our next speaker is Cynthia Jay, and she's from District 14, Area 71, Norfolk, Virginia.
Well, I'm Cynthia, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Cynthia.
And I can tell from listening to our previous speaker that I need to talk to him. He's like light years ahead of us. In our district, oh, wait a minute. First of all, I just really wanted to thank everyone who's put on this incredible convention. It's just amazing. I walk around, and I'm walking with my husband, and I say, wow, wow. I get in line, and I'm thinking, I'm so tired. But all of a sudden, this man behind me goes, where are you from? And I said, Virginia. And he goes, well, I'm from Ohio. And there it goes. All of a sudden, you're not waiting in line anymore. You're sharing recovery. So on the way over, I'm sitting next to Michigan, Florida, and oh my God, Italy. And he hands me this thing, and I know I only have X amount of minutes, so I'll make it quick. And it's this little card, and it says, I think, because it's in Italian, it says that this is a language that everyone understands, no matter what the language. And he beamed from ear to ear, and I knew exactly what he was talking about. Okay, so I think we like stories. I know I do. It's how I got into Alcoholics Anonymous. The first part of the big book was, well, really literally Greek. And the stories, I thought, I felt like that. I know that. And so we're not as far along as Christopher, but on our district level, we had a DCM who was very interested in special needs. So it's interesting that he mentions this. And when this little girl, she's little to me, said to me, have you any interest in special needs? Well, even drunk, I was very interested in the EMRs and the multiply handicapped and the severely retarded. And so I said, yes, as a matter of fact. And she said, well, I'm going to order some stuff. You know how they talk, stuff. I'm going to order some stuff from GSO. Will you help me read it? And I thought, okay, I'll help you read it. So the stuff comes, and oh my God, is it stuff. I mean, everything from soup to nuts, and it's overwhelming. We're talking about children and adults who are educably mentally retarded all the way to the hearing impaired, and blind. And in that group, they also had the elderly. And so we did what procedurally we do in our area, and that's at least in our district too. We handed it over to intergroup and said, you know, you really ought to do something about this because this is too much for one district. And they took a look at it and said, oh no, you're not doing this to us, and passed it back. And so this cute little girl, I'm sorry, this is catching my breath so much. This cute little girl comes up to me and said, okay, you helped me get into this, so now you're going to help me get out. And would you be in charge of an ad hoc committee? And I said, yes. Immediately, several other people climbed on board, thank goodness. And The way we alcoholics do things in the beginning is that we take our will and we take our intelligence and we ram it up against there and we go, yeah, we're going to get this sucker, we're going to beat it up, we're going to put it in a box, and we're going to hand it off. Well, it doesn't work like that, you know, because we're working with people. So we got together as a committee, and you know how alcoholics are. You ask for some information, and lordy me, you get everything. It's good, of course. So one of our group said, you know, we're forgetting something here, that we have access to an unlimited power, and that power is God. So we sat down after all this commotion and said this little prayer that I'm sure you've all heard. God, please help us set aside everything we think we know about the process and all the things and all the information that we've had. Please guide us in the way that you would have us go. And boy, you better watch out what you pray for. One of our group goes, ah, you know, I read this thing in a grapevine. It's an article. And I think it comes from the Nevada group. So since I'm doing this other job, which escapes me, she said, Cynthia, why don't you see if you can get a hold of them? I thought, all righty. So having talked, the interesting thing for me was I'm sort of a neophyte in comparison, so that we started with the whole structure of AA. We'd gone from GSO down to intergroup, down to district, and we were to go even further down the chain, which, of course, is where everything starts. So we call this intergroup, and lo and behold, they had worked out an entire program. Is anybody here from Nevada? Okay, well, we owe Nevada a huge debt of gratitude. I hope I said that right. I'm kind of tired. They sent us every bit of material they had. They call themselves the Sunshine Committee, and they really had the nuts and the bolts, how to go, when to go, and they had targeted their seniors who were shut-ins, who were not able, as Christopher is so wonderfully mobile and many are. They had targeted this special group, and we thought to ourselves, you know, we can do that, and we can take it even lower. Instead of throwing up our hands and going, we're helpless, we took it down to the home group level, you know, because really it is, after all, one alcoholic helping another alcoholic. That's where it starts. So what we did was we took their CD, rewritable CD, and took it down to, like I said, the home group level. And in each home group, we asked that they be aware that fellowship is wonderful, but if they came into their meetings and they noticed through conversations who was getting ready to go in for an operation, who seemed a little slower, who might need a special visit. And so from that, at least six or seven of the home groups now have visiting sunshine, we called ourselves the Shimmer of Light Committee people, who keep really an eye on the people in the home group and help our seniors as they become less mobile. We've got one person who's like 93 years old. She's really not mobile, but the home group that I started out in now takes meetings to her. So we call these people, gosh, you know, first of all, they're forged by fire lifers, not elderly. And then the second thing is we call them the forgotten alcoholics. You know how someone will just slip away and you'll think, what happened to them? Where did they go? Sometimes, of course, they've gone back out. But more than likely, especially the ones with a lot of sobriety, they may have fallen. They may have gotten, you know, they may have been hospitalized and not had a great result. And so we felt like it was our business to take care of these wonderful people who sometimes had 30 and 40 years of sobriety. They were the backbone of our groups. They were some of our sponsors. They were people who passed this message down to us. So In closing, I would also like to say that I've gotten a lot of ideas about a senior center. But the other thing that we tried to do was to go into assisted living and some of those facilities. And the administrations were problems, but also the residents themselves. If there was an AA meeting inside the thing, their friends would see them going to these meetings. They didn't like it. So now, through family and friends, we're anonymous. We go in discreetly when asked by the individual. That's why I'm so in love with Christopher's idea of the senior center. So in closing, I'd like to just remind everyone that our meetings are wonderful. Fellowship is, you know, without value, I mean with total value. But there's a world of seriousness underneath this for the newcomer that comes in or the alcoholic who may have wandered from our group because of reasons beyond their control. And that so there's an element of work in our meetings to go and be aware. And so I would really like to thank everyone for being here. I'd also like to thank the people who made it possible for me to stand up here. And I've learned so much. And I hope that I get to see some of you as I'm trudging the road of happy destiny out there.
Thank you, Cynthia. Okay, and our last speaker comes from Area 6 in San Francisco, California. Please help me welcome Virginia M.
Thank you, and I'm sure it was a mistake that I'm here. But I also come from the access viewpoint of this issue. And two things that keep coming to my mind. One is that I came to AA when I was 25 years old, and I haven't had a drink since. And now I'm a senior. And about 2010, our intergroup kept asking me, I was the chair of the Access Committee, you need to do something for elders. You know, I'm like, no, I don't want to. And I rotated out, and I rotated to the 12-step committee, and I was calling around just to introduce myself to the 12-step workers, and one of them was a 92-year-old woman who got sober when I did. Because at that time, there weren't that many 25-year-olds getting sober, but there were a lot of 40-year-olds. So I got talking with her, and I said, hey, this elder thing, you know, what can we do for the elder community in San Francisco? And she says, well, honey, we need a local phone meeting of elders. I said, okay. So I went off and researched, how can I do a conference call and all this? And we found a way. And gathered about five or six people that wanted to be on this conference call. And met more people who I had gotten sober with. There was Hank and Jerry. And we just started making, we make a phone call every Wednesday, 10 a.m. Pacific time, and link this small group of people up together. And they've begun to rely on it to both supplement the meetings they're missing. Most of these people do get out of the house, although the 92-year-old Frances, who suggested it, she doesn't leave the home, not due to disability, but she's afraid to fall, and I can't blame her. And so she doesn't go out. But she also told me about something called the Senior Center Without Walls. And when you get home, Google it. I think it's a great model to work with in AA, as this, as Area 05 has pointed out in their PowerPoint presentations. I think they did them like 10 years ago, and then they were saying that 60% of us alcoholics and alcoholics are over the age of 50. So that means now, you know, 60% of us are over 60 and moving north. I didn't come in this willingly, so be careful what you resist. Because I'm getting more and more of it. The problem I had coming here was, are we talking about serving alcoholics who are sober, or are we talking about carrying the AA message to alcoholics who still suffer? And I don't have a lot of experience that is different than what's already been presented in reaching the alcoholic who still suffers. I look forward to visiting the Sycamore Room over in the Omni and getting more feedback on that. The other thing that happened this year was I was at the same Pacific Area Regional Service Assembly, and a woman went to the mic and said, "We're seniors. What do you want us to do? Go to special needs?" And I was like, "Well, let's talk about that term." Special needs was a manufactured word that mothers created because their children were getting beaten up in school for being retarded. And so it carries with it stigma. And in San Francisco, we choose to call our committee the Accessibility Committee, because when AA stops being accessible, that's where we want the hand of AA to reach out. Whether you're not able to access AA because it's spoken in a language that you don't understand, you can't remember the code to get you in the internet, then it's a problem of accessibility. If AA has become so digitized and so hip, and nobody's explaining how do you create a Skype meeting, how do you go to an online meeting, how do you protect your anonymity and the anonymity of your friends when you enter this digital world, if you so choose to enter it. And I recommend myself, I can't learn enough about it because I've seen I have two home groups. One is we call face-to-face and the other is on the internet. And my internet group is deaf and late deafened AA members, and some deaf who do not use American Sign Language, and we all work together in a video conferencing format in order, we use texting, so we type our words so that there's no confusion for the person who's losing their hearing or has lost all their hearing, who can work within the English language. So reaching out to the alcoholic who still suffers outside of these rooms is very challenging. We in San Francisco have had some of the same experiences as other people in that nursing homes don't want you there. They think we don't have alcoholics, and And we don't want to have alcoholics. But here, we've got this drunk. Would you talk to him? So it's, you know, oh, okay. So we want to be friendly with our friends, but we have been having some difficulty. We have one person in San Francisco who just keeps marching on and bringing meetings. Two people who have requested them in maybe more assisted living than nursing homes. I also wanted to talk to you just a minute about preparing for winter. And this work has brought to my program the idea that I need to make a plan for my aging in AA and the kind of service work. If you're feeling on the outside of AA, and you're probably not if you're here, but I know many people, elders, do feel cast out of AA. And there is so much service work reaching out to this population. I mean, you have to be a senior to really connect with this population. And I know on my access committee, if you can't get out, we'll Skype you in. We'll come over and show you. We'll bring you a computer. We can't hook you up to the internet unless you have the connection. But we need people on our committees. And whether it's answering the telephone for AA or planning our access committee, we don't do nothing. We don't do it. We don't drive people anywhere. We don't hold anybody's hands. But what we do is we help develop a plan if whatever the barrier to your getting the message and participation in the AA program, we will work with you and contacting people, bringing in resources. We're a thinking group. You know, we want you here, and we know everyone in AA wants you here, and let's find the solution. That's the kind of access committee we are. And we also want a universally accessible AA, whether you're 16 or you're 96 or older. But we want you here in AA. We need your help. We need your activity, your experience, your strength, and your hope. And thank you for letting me share.